Life and Times, celebrating a life well lived on Times Radio.
Right, so in Life and Times today, we are celebrating the life of Trevor Griffiths, the Marxist playwright who wrote the influential play Comedians and attempted to reach the masses through the medium of television. Here's a snippet of his famous play. It's set in a working men's club in Manchester. It took aim at comics, as in comedians, who resorted to racism and sexism in their stand-up routines.
It's not only what you see, it's what you feel when you see it.
It's what I feel, right? What I feel.
No compassion, no truth. You threw it all aside. Love, care, concern, call it what you like, you junked it over the side.
I didn't junk it, Eddie, it was just never there.
What do you mean?
You're avoiding the question.
Well, I don't know what it is.
Was I good or was I crap?
You were brilliant!
So joining us to remember his life is David Belbin, who is a writer, novelist and was a friend of Trevor's. Welcome to the show, David.
Hi.
And the Times obituary writer, Damien Arnold. Welcome to the show, Damien.
Hi, Ed.
David, let's start with you. Trevor was a friend of yours. Tell us what kind of a man he was away from the spotlight of his work.
I must confess that the first time I met him in the 1980s, I found him quite intimidating. He was a very powerful, articulate figure. I got to know him again in more recent years, just after he'd been diagnosed with the Alzheimer's that he eventually died from. And he was a much more gentle, benign, humorous figure who wanted to talk about his early life in teaching, and we got on very well indeed. I find him to be, you know, a very, you know, wise man who had knew his contribution to our culture, I think.
And he had a distinct contribution to our culture. He started off really as a political activist before he became a playwright. And what was his kind of philosophy that kind of knitted all that together?
I think he was a Marxist, and he was, you know, I can't really speak to the theory because it's not my area. I think it's actually more important to think so that he came from a background of teaching. You know, he wanted to talk a lot about his education. We started a long interview, which was never completed because of his illness and because of the pandemic. But he wanted to talk about his teachers. He wanted to talk about his experience. He worked for 8 years as a teacher, and he became a BBC education officer. So I think that is as important as all the socialist stuff, which tends to get talked about, which obviously he was deeply involved in as well. And I think that, you know, the play that you mentioned, Comedians, actually what people tend to forget is that this is set in a classroom. You know, it is actually structured around people being taught to become stand-up comedians. And he does kind of, you know, manage this dialectic between, you know, the old and the new. Some would say that he actually, you know, predicted the new comedy that arrived in the 1980s, just as he did in his other great Nottingham Playhouse production, which was a 1977 adaptation of Chekhov's The Cherry Orchard, where he really gives, I think, equal force to, you know, the old order and the new order that is coming, and manages to sort of fashion a dialectic that many productions of The Cherry Orchard, which treats it much more as heritage, aren't capable of doing.
So that's really interesting, isn't it, Damien, about what David was saying about Trevor being a sort of teacher. And, you know, we think of him obviously as a political activist and a playwright, but he also wanted to teach. Let's talk a bit about the works that David was referring to, like The Comedians and We for England. Also this, if you like, didactic philosophy that the revolution would be televised. The way to teach was through the medium of television. Why was The Comedians so significant?
Well, I think The Comedians was, as David said, it was very, very prescient in terms of looking at the moral basis of comedy. And also, what's so clever about it is that it kind of plays with the audience in terms of, it's very funny, but the audience at the end are beginning to question whether they should be laughing at the things that they're laughing at.
Yeah, Peter Hall said it in a sort of manner of words, yeah, that the audience is skewered. He said,
yes,
it in a slightly,
exactly,
more dramatic way.
He used more industrial language, yes. And then, you know, he made a series of political television plays in the 1970s, perhaps the best known of which is Bill Brand, which is a kind of drama about an idealistic Labour MP who then experienced the ugly realities of Westminster. So it's a kind of modern-day Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
And he had huge license in terms of how he
absolutely. You know, it's 11 hours. He said it would never get made. You know, in the later age where TV executives were just sort of risk averse and making detective series and police dramas and that sort of thing. Food for Ravens was about Anoran Bevan and the foundation of the NHS. He had to fight to get that shown on the BBC, but it won a BAFTA. And in later years, he made a play about the 18th century writer Thomas Paine, who was such an influence on the American Revolution and the French Revolution. Richard Attenborough failed to get it made as a film. Eventually, it got staged at Shakespeare's Globe, and it was hailed as a masterpiece. And I must say, I would love it if that got revived, because I'd really love to see it.
When was it staged? Can you remember?
2009.
So it's fascinating, David, listening to Damien talk about his works, because obviously, you know, you hear about the series Bill Brand, and you hear about the play about Thomas Paine, and one sort of does yearn to see them revived, if not least to see Bill Brandon's kind of, as a politician myself, I guess, reflect on...
I think you're dead right there, Ed. I mean, I rewatched Bill Brand in the run-up to meeting Trevor and doing these interviews. That had a huge influence on me and the kind of writer I became, because it was broadcast just after Comedians came out at the Playhouse, but before the TV version. So it was my first encounter with Trevor's work. And that 11-part series that came in the summer that I was 18, before I started university, really had a profound effect on me. And indeed, I started to write a series many years later, crime novels called Bone and Cane, which is about that very same thing, that modernised, you know, someone coming in under new Labour and the compromises that they might have to make in order to get by. And I do think it's worth pointing out the play that Bill Brand is available on DVD. The BBC 5 years ago repeated Country, which came out in 1981 and which was again directed by Richard Eyre, who directed The Cherry Orchard and Comedians, and which was originally going to be the start of a sequence of historical plays about British politics, but actually is the only one that got made. And that is an absolutely tremendous play set on the eve of the 1945 election results. I would point out that there was a radio version of the Paine play, so that could be rebroadcast. I listened to that relatively recently, and it has been published by Spokesman Books, who've actually kept just about all of Trevor's plays in print,
we better start Googling.
Bill Brand is on YouTube, I found out.
Okay.
Right, yeah.
There's your answer.
Trevor made sure that most of his best stuff is available. Could I just mention one other thing? Because I think it's really crucial.
Yes.
And that is that, you know, the adaptation of The Cherry Orchard, you know, it wasn't just a really good adaptation, which really, really sharpened the play. He only added 50 words to it. But it was also something that actually marked a big step forward in Trevor's work and how he worked, and I think enabled him to do his other great work set in Nottinghamshire, which is the 7-part adaptation of D.H. Lawrence's Sons and Lovers. And again, Trevor made sure that this was available freely on YouTube so that anyone can see it. And I do feel, you know, having watched it quite recently, that it is the best adaptation of Lawrence's work, and does just show, you know, what a great writer and humanist Griffiths is as well. I don't want to just talk about him as a political writer. The politics inevitably dates, but the way in which he sets up the debate doesn't. And the humanism in his plays from Through the Night through to his adaptation of Sons and Lovers is there for all to see and touch.
Brilliant. Well, David Belvin, you clearly were a fan as well as a friend of Trevor's, as well as being a writer and a novelist. Thank you for coming on and talking about the amazing life of Trevor Griffiths, who died on the end of March, aged 88, and also to the Times obituary writer Damien Arnold.
Thank
as
you.
Well.